Our text this morning is the one verse from the third chapter of St. John's Revelation. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. These are God's words. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today marks the 526th anniversary of the birth of Martin Luther. He was baptized on November 11th, 1483, the day after his birth, and was given the name Martin after St. Martin of Tours. St. Martin died on November 11th, 397, and was commemorated as a faithful confessor of the truth of the gospel. We do not observe Luther's birthday in order to elevate him above any other Christian, but rather we commemorate his birth as a thanksgiving to God and also a reminder of the faithful confession that he restored to the church, that salvation is in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, which we know from Scripture alone. In the year 1521, Luther made a confession at the Diet of Worms. Hier stehe ich. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. That confession was not as a defiant political act, although it had some political repercussions. But it was as a confession of the Christian faith taught in the Holy Scriptures. It's the act of confession, in fact, that is described in St. John's Revelation. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now, the Sundays in November, as I'm sure you have noticed, the last Sundays of the church year, are a time when our attention is turned to the coming of the end of the world, the eschaton, the last things. Luther scholars and Luther students recognize Luther's focus on the last things, that it really was a prevailing theme in his teaching, and that he is an eschatological thinker, that is, one who believes and focuses on our Lord's promised return and believes that it is very near. Now, one is tempted to think that perhaps because the scripture readings in November are so vividly depict the end times of the world, are so eschatological, Luther was always forced to think about such things around the time of his birthday, and thus becomes so focused on Christ's return. The context of the verse, which is our text this morning, Revelation, is that Revelation chapters 2 and 3 consist of Jesus' seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. These letters are each addressed to the angel, that is, the proclaimer or the preacher of each of those churches, and it is to those congregations that Jesus speaks. To most of them, he has both words of encouragement and words of warning. We're very familiar with what he speaks to the Laodiceans. I wish that you were either cold or hot, but since you're lukewarm, I must spew you out of my mouth. A couple of the churches, however, escape criticism. The persecuted church at Smyrna and the faithful church at Philadelphia. And this text is from the letter to the church at Philadelphia. This was a time of horrible persecution. And it's in the midst of this persecution that our Lord, through the vision of St. John, calls the believers to be faithful, not to give up their faith, even if it might mean their death. The Lord will return, he promises, soon, quickly, and take them to the place that he has promised to prepare for them, and they will receive the crown of life that has been given to them in the gospel. Now they're told, hold fast what you have. So what is it that they had? Well, it certainly wasn't money or career or success or secure position in Roman civilization or any kind of economic advantage. All of those things were shrouded in a great deal of uncertainty and could hardly have been considered worth suffering for. But they were called to faith. They were called to faith to believe the message that had been preached, for one thing, by John. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Also preached by St. Paul to many of those same churches, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that's the faith into which those Christians had been baptized, according to Jesus' command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And what they have through that baptism, through faith, they are to hold firmly: the righteousness of Christ, his perfect obedience to the law, his perfect obedience and suffering and death, and the propitiation for our sin, as the propitiation for our sins. They were baptized into his resurrection and given the promise of eternal life with God in his eternal kingdom. That was the faith into which Martin Luther was baptized the day after his birth. It was also a faith which had become obscured in the medieval church, the pure faith mixed with the works of men, an authority other than Christ himself and his word, a belief that men could help to turn themselves to God's grace, and uncertainty over the very truth of salvation. This faith is also obscured among us today. Whenever we focus on our own works, on our own feelings, on our own approach to Christ, and on the excitement that we might have. Only when Luther was driven to Scripture in the monastery and as a doctor of the Old Testament at the University of Wittenberg, he was his best student, only then did that faith into which he had been baptized become clear. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he found, was to look solely to Christ for his righteousness and salvation, not to his own worship, not to his own work. John Bugenhagen, the pastor of the city church in Wittenberg, preached for the funeral of Luther in February 1546, and he gave this glimpse of Luther's faith. Bugenhagen reports that when Luther's brother-in-law, Ambrosius, was dying, Luther went to visit him frequently, and at that time, Ambrosius was somewhat out of his head and not very much aware of what was going on. But, Bugenhagen and Luther said, he never failed to confess his certainty and trust in Christ. And then Bugenhagen recounts how after Ambrosius died, Bugenhagen and Luther visited his grave, and Luther said he did not know that he was sick. He also did not know that he was dying, and yet was not without a confession of Christ. Here he lies and still does not know that he was dead. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, Luther said, take me also in similar fashion out of this veil of tears. That is the faith which stands before God. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. That's not only for the Philadelphians, but it's also for us. St. John repeats those words of Christ at the end of his book of Revelation, and he says, quotes Jesus' words, I am coming quickly, and then he closes the book. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.